Monday finish at the Zurich Classic in New Orleans. It was worth it for Brian Stewart, 33-year-old journeyman in a playoff, two-hole playoff over Jamie Lovemark and Ben Ahn. Wins for the first time on the PGA Tour, two-year exemption, trip to Augusta, hole nine yards. Bobby Wyatt, what a finish for this guy. Sponsors invite this week. A final round, third round in this case, 64, and he top tens himself into next week. Welcome into the Monday Scramble, Whit Watson, Will Gray, and Jay Coffin. A lot of good stories here in New Orleans, but obviously Stewart, a guy that slogged around mini tours for a couple of years, had conditional status on the web.com tour as recently as 2008, now finally a PGA Tour winner.
Yeah, it's the third time this year we've seen a guy go from having conditional status to start the week to a two-year exemption after winning a tournament. We saw Vaughn Taylor do it at Pebble, Jim Herman in Houston. So it just shows how deep these fields can be, that any week a guy gets hot, and you got to tip your hat to Brian Stewart. 44 out of 44 on putts inside 10 feet, played 56 holes without a bogey. Jay, that's pretty much just channeling your golf right
there. Let's not bury the lead, though, and congratulate Whit on getting the call up from Golf Central to the podcast.
Right? Thank you.
So let's not
bury
that. But back to Zurich, you're right. I think this is also one of those weeks where aren't we just sort of glad that it's over?
Look,
congratulations to Brian and everything he had. It was kind of hard to watch Jamie Lovemark coming down the stretch, but we're kind of glad it's over, although... Well, you and I were talking, would love to have seen an extra 18 holes with a Jason Day lurking.
Absolutely. And they were, frankly, lucky to get the 54 in. There was a good chance they wouldn't finish on Monday. More weather coming into New Orleans. So congrats to Brian Stewart indeed. The rundown on the scramble. Is Tiger Woods close to coming back? It seems like we've asked this question a lot over the last few years. We will preview Wells Fargo in Charlotte. And how about John Daly on the PGA Tour Champions? What a lot of fun that's going to be as he is set to make his debut. Let's start off with Tiger Woods. It's always kind of a guessing game, isn't it? You get these signals.
There's our sound
effect. There you go.
See, you're new to the game. You got to get caught up here. We got a little sound effect.
It's like you're waiting for the white smoke from the chimney as to where he's going to go next. We've heard about him making accommodations for certain events in upcoming weeks. When is he going to play again? Seriously.
I just want Tiger to know I've got an extra room next week at the Courtyard Marriott on Jack's Beach. If he needs a place to post up, we can talk.
Yeah.
We're just chasing our tail on this.
Right.
I am so over this and just waiting for him to commit to an event. I'll see it on his website or whatever, and we'll go from there. But this trying to read the tea leaves, we're spinning our wheels here, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I get why we do it. I get that it happens. I get that, everybody wants to know where Tiger's going. But I've made plans to go to the Players next week. I may not go all 6 days. I've made plans to go to the U.S. Open, the Open Championship, the Memorial. I've made plans to go to all those. May not go, probably will, but I might not. So it's just one of those things where I guess Mark Steinberg has to just be almost just tired of it too, right? I mean, I know that's sort of his job and it goes with the territory, but every other day he's just got to get bombarded with, did Tiger make plans to go to the Memorial? I just don't know where we go with this. I mean, it's just sort of like we're not going to sit around and wait for him to show up. We're going to try to read the tea leaves like you talk about, but it is exhausting.
But it's a situation that they're creating because it's a vacuum of information.
Right.
If they would get out in front of it and say, listen, this is definitely no, this is something we're thinking about, just have a little transparency, then we would not be going to such lengths of, I feel like we're about to check his airplane tail.
You could have said that about any number of topics with Tiger for the last 20 years. I mean, that's always been the issue, is that because there's no admission, there's no transparency, everything becomes...
Right.
Magnified.
Correct.
You know, I mean, it's making a hotel room for this week or that week. Players do that all the time.
Yeah.
Correct. Without plans on going to play the tournament. But because we know nothing else about what Tiger's doing,
we're clinging to it.
Becomes a headline.
They play no amount of offense. They're always on the defensive. It's always defense for them. They're never in front of it, never on the offense. And you're right, it's their own making. But still, you know, I don't know if this means he's coming back sooner rather than later. But, it's just sort of, in Tiger speak, it is what it is, right, Whit?
It is what it is.
It's a process.
Stuck between patterns. Rex Hoggard is stuck between patterns. He's joining us on the phone. Rex, what are your thoughts about Tiger? When's he coming back? What's going on?
I think there's only one guy that knows the answer to that question. It's not Mark Steinberg. I don't even think it's Tiger's doctors at this point. I think Tiger's the only one, and I'm not even 100% sure if he knows at this point. And I know, Jay, I know the point you're making about they just won't play offense, that they're stuck in this defensive mode, and I certainly agree with that to an extent. But Mark has been pretty clear on this. Tiger's been pretty clear on this since the second or third, however many back procedures there were at the end of last year, that, look, there is no timetable. And I think he's adhering to that. He subscribed to it. He's not going to waver on it. And, sure, he's going to make plans to maybe play the Memorial, the U.S. Open. His event, Quicken Loans, would seem a logical choice. But these are all tentative. I think it's based entirely on what's going on in South Florida. And day-to-day, the Tiger goes to the range and feels like he can go out and play 18 holes, and then suddenly it becomes 36, 54, and 72. He's going to get closer and closer, but he's the only one that's got an answer to that question right now.
I tend to agree with you. I don't think he's gaming us. I think he honestly does not know when he's going to play golf again. He's trying to just keep his options open. I mean, those of us who are past 40 years old know what it's like. Those injuries do kind of linger, and it's very hard to get back, you know, like you were when you were 30 or 25 years old. The one thing, Rex, that he was certainly healthy enough to attend was the Tiger Jam, which just took place, the annual event for his foundation. What did you hear about that?
Well, I think there was some, you know, there was some time on the range. It was hitting balls. You know, you're going to look at these videos, you know, with a critical eye, but, of course, he's just out hitting balls. This isn't game speed. This isn't at a PGA Tour event. Of course, he was at his golf course opening near Houston just a couple days ago as well. And you're going to look at this, and you're going to try to dissect it. You're going to try to figure out if he's game ready. Again, I don't even think he knows that, but it's certainly encouraging if he feels like his game is at least good enough to take into the public realm right now. I would agree with Jay that, look, I think we're getting closer to the end of the rehab and to the beginning of this comeback, this next comeback. But all along, this one has probably scared him more than any of his injuries throughout his career, and you can tell. This time around, he's being much more deliberate, being much more cautious.
I still think it was shocking when he was out at Blue Jack on Monday, and he played a few holes, and he said those were the first holes of golf he had played since the Wyndham in August. I don't think anyone really realized just how far things had gone and just how, as Rex was saying, just how carefully he's taking this rehab process, which makes me kind of question how you go from 0 to 60 in terms of the players next week.
Correct.
I don't really see that being necessarily viable if you've gone so slowly through these last 6 or 7 months.
Yeah, exactly. You're going, it took you 8 months to go from 0 to 10.
Yeah.
And you're going to go from 10 to 80 in 4 or 5 weeks. I don't think that happened. But you're right, Rex, but it's sort of, you know, I think you're right about it, how it's Tiger and nobody knows, and probably he doesn't know, but these sort of public appearances are sort of giving everybody hope, even if there's not hope, right? I mean, and by many accounts, too. I mean, our Nick Minta was at Sage Valley a couple weeks ago at that junior clinic and said, you know, saw his Tiger stand over 4 or 5 drivers and then saw Nota Begay walk over and kindly take the driver away and give him a wedge because many of those drivers did not find the middle of the fairway. So we're seeing more glimpses of him in public, which makes us happy. But I think you agree, right, Rex? It doesn't really mean he's much closer now than he was just a couple weeks ago before he was in public.
No, and of course, you know, there was some speculation that built up that he would start to come back next week at Quail, or this week at Quail, sorry, at the Wells Fargo Championship. And I had a chance to talk to the tournament director, Jim Husson, just a few days ago, Friday, on the deadline. And he said he hadn't even heard from Tiger or his camp about possibly playing. And they never expected him to be there. I think he would probably get an honest reaction out of those in Ponte Vedra Beach as far as next week at the Players go. Because what we've seen so far, and that's all we can go on, we can't speculate any more than that, is not game ready, not 100%. He can't go out. And look, he plays very, very difficult golf courses from here on out. He's not showing up at the Wyndham and playing Sedgefield, which is a relatively easy course compared to the other courses that he's going to face if he does start his comeback like we think. Let's say it's at Memorial. I mean, that's a very difficult golf course. And then you start talking about the U.S. Open and Quicken Loans at Congressional. These are all challenging tests, not the kind of places you want to show up cold off the bench.
One word before we get to this week in golf. Well, we'll get to this, and we'll come back to that in a second. Wells Fargo Championship, obviously, coming up in Charlotte. The Insperity Invitational at the Woodlands on the PGA Tour Champion. They are playing in Morocco on the European Tour. Yokohama Tire LPGA Classic, Prattville, Alabama. That on Golf Channel as well. Before we get to John Daly, I want to go back to one thing about Tiger, and the word you used is hope. And let's finish this conversation on that point. We want him to come back.
Absolutely.
There's no criticism intended whatsoever about
Correct.
The injuries. Everybody in golf wants Tiger playing.
Correct.
We are better for it when he is healthy and competitive. So just put a bow on that.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of guys we love to see on the golf course, John Daly turns 50. which means I guess Fuzzy owes him, what, $150,000?
$150,000, he made it.
They bet that John wouldn't get to 50, and he did, and he's going to make his debut on PGA Tour Champions. Rex hanging with us. What are your thoughts about that first?
Well, it was amazing. A few weeks ago during the Masters, I went down and spent time with him in his RV in front of the Hooters restaurant back there in Washington.
Yeah, I saw him. Yep.
And you still get the impression. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it was 8 a.m. in the morning, Whit, and fans were walking up to the RV and knocking on the door. Now, granted, they had had a few beers at this point, and just the way he was engaging with the fans still. And, I mean, just in droves, as everyone walked by, they had something to say. They came over and wanted to talk with John. They wanted him to sign a hat, whatever the case may be. He still resonates with fans, even though he's so far removed from his last tour victory. And I think it could be such a shot in the arm, first off, for John Daly. It's the ultimate mulligan, right? I mean, here's a guy that needs a second or third or fourth. However many chances that we've given this guy, he needs another one. But more so than that, I think the PGA Tour champion needs him as a shot in the arm. Because if you watch the way the fans still sort of are drawn to him, it's a type of audience that they don't get a lot on the PGA Tour champion. And it could be a huge boon for them as well.
You know, Rexy, I think I approved your expense report, and I don't recall approving any beers at 8 a.m.
8 a.m. beer, yeah.
In front of Hooters.
Stuck that one right in.
I don't believe if that went, maybe that was under tips or miscellaneous. I need to look a little closer. Yeah, something. But, I mean, there, and, you know, as cool of a story as this is going to be, and everybody's pretty excited, he's not going to change one stinking bit, right? He's
still going to
be
out there.
That's why it's awesome, because he's going to bring that same thing to the 50 and over set, right? I mean, no changing.
Oh, he said as much. You know, I asked if he was more mature, if he was grown up, and he just sort of laughed at the question. He goes, I'm still going to do stupid stuff. I'm still going to throw golf clubs. I'm probably going to walk off a golf course. He has not matured to that point. Now, at 50 years old, there's some gray in the beard, and he has slowed down a step, and I think that might be the difference this time around, that maybe this will give him an opportunity to really take advantage of this. And as far as tears on an expense report, Dave, you could almost consider those expense reports some of my best writing, because you're never going to see a fee receipt in there.
Very nice. I can attest, having driven up and down Washington Road many, many times that week, that there was a line around the block to see him. Still, I mean, X number, as Rick said, X number of years out, there's still a line around the block to get autographed items and just see John Daly in person.
He's
it's amazing.
Legend.
It's amazing.
He's a legend.
I mean, Tiger's on a stratosphere unto himself, and then probably a Phil, but I feel like JD is on a par near Phil in terms of just what he can inject to an event, the passion from the fans, everything like that. I mean, it's amazing.
In our own little small world ratings and web traffic, I mean, JD is in the top five.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Tiger and Phil, and you're right, maybe a couple of these younger guys, but JD, man, you put him on that homepage, people just cannot get enough.
You know, not for nothing, but the first PGA Tour Champions major of the year is in Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. How soon do you think before he contends in one of those five majors?
I think fairly soon. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, Rex talks about the ultimate mulligan, right? So if he sort of gets out there and treats it quasi-seriously, he has the game to beat those guys, right? He absolutely does.
Yep.
Gets the putter rolling, and he hits it as far as ever. You know, somebody I was in a meeting a couple weeks ago, is John Daly going to be out there and be the freak that he was 20 years ago and hit it past everybody? No, because everybody still hits it far. Kenny Perry hits the mess out. I mean,
right.
You know, so no, he's not going to be that, but he's still John Daly, right? Everything else aside, he gets the ball in the hole, gets it going. Doesn't make the big number, right? He's always been, it's always been about
the
big number
for
him. It is a big if, but I don't know that he wins one. He will absolutely contend fairly soon out of the gate, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, Whit, as you said, they got five cracks at the apple on the PGA Tour champion, so that helps. He's got an extra chance at it. I would expect him to win at some point this year, maybe not in a major. I think you see a lot of those guys come out right after they turn 50, Woody Austin, Jeff Maggard, some recent examples of guys that really didn't light it on fire on the PGA Tour. Then they get to 50, and it's just a smaller pool. When you get the difference from 50 to 55 or 58, it's just they have a small window there to really take advantage of it. I think JD is going to come in and really have a good chance to win.
By the way, Rex still with us, heading to the Wells Fargo, covering it for golfchannel.com. Some of the notables that will be there this week. It's always a good field at the Wells Fargo Championship. You've got guys like Ricky Fowler, Phil, Adam Scott, Jim Furyk trying to make his way back from injury, Dustin Johnson, McIlroy, the defending champion, Henrik Stenson. Rex, who are you keeping eyes on this week in terms of notables at the Wells Fargo?
Well, I think Rory is at the point in the season right now. I mean, let's face it, he probably is hungry for a victory. He's hungry to sort of elbow his way back into the conversation. And I'm not going to say that, you know, we've dismissed him by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a very competitive guy. And I think, you know, he admits to looking at the world rankings on Monday just to see what his lead was back in the day when he was world number one. And I just think the idea that he has slipped behind, not just Jason Day, but Jordan Spieth as well, at least in the world rankings, he's going to be really motivated. And this is such a good golf course for him. And we've seen that of Ricky Fowler, too, in recent years. He loves the way this golf course plays. It's a major championship test, and I think it'd be a very good fit for him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, this is a player that's eight of the top 12 in the world, so that's pretty good. But it's where many of those top guys have played well in the past. They've either won or played well. So you're looking at, you know, you get Ricky, even Phil Mickelson, Rory, guys like that, you know, kind of keep the ball rolling. You know, there haven't been a whole lot of stinkers this year. Most of the fields are pretty good. We've had some pretty good winners, plenty of storylines, but we're starting to get into the meat of it real quick. And these guys, I expect those top guys to step up there.
It's hard to believe that this marks the one-year anniversary of Rory's last PGA Tour win. And yes, he won in Dubai, and yes, he had the injuries last year. But as we get into this summer, there's going to be some pressure on him to get a trophy, whether it's here or at a major or somewhere else, that everyone, just because everyone else is winning at such a clip, Jordan and Jason, especially the guys that he's chasing, but he hasn't done it in a year. And going back to what you said, Jay, I'm interested to see what Phil does. Yeah. He had that crazy second round at Augusta, missed the cut, and then very quietly put up an MC Hammer in San Antonio. Yeah. And so now the narrative is going to potentially shift from, wow, he's coming back, he's going to get a win, he had such a great start to the season, and now you get into the summer and he's starting to lose some of that precious momentum.
Yeah, Ryder Cup and everything. We were, you know, a month or so ago, we're looking like, yeah, look, he's going to keep this rolling. Hopefully gets on one more Ryder Cup team, we're off and running, and yeah, it's kind of hit the brakes a little bit.
I'm also curious, and Rex, before we let you go, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Ricky Fowler takes heat, I think, unfairly, unnecessarily, for not winning often enough. He puts up a lot of good finishes. He puts up gets a lot of FedEx Cup points, a lot of ranking points, but seemingly has to kind of fight this image of should he be included in a big four or a big five or what have you, because he doesn't win at the same clip as a Jordan Spieth or a Jason Day. Do you think that Fowler gets a fair shake?
No, I don't think so. In a lot of ways, he's a victim of his own marketing success. And look, this started from him being a rookie on tour and the tour taking advantage of that image. I mean, they want a specific audience and want to draw that golf. And Ricky was the easy conduit for that. I mean, he wears the colorful clothes and the flat brim and the way he carries himself on the golf course. I don't think that was of his making. I mean, if you want to really blame anyone, maybe it was the Hammers, maybe it was the PGA Tour. I don't know if you really need to even assign blame, because if you look at his record, and I was in Abu Dhabi this year when he won, it was a very solid field, and he was very impressive. And I think on any given week, he does not win on the clip that you just referenced, but I think in his mind, he's focused on those really big events, which will be the Players' Championship in 2 weeks and then the U.S. Open. I think it's the major that he's motivated by more than anything else.
Yeah, I think winning the Players and how he won the Players a year ago bought him a lot of equity.
Yes.
You know, you had the whole overrated, underrated, all that kind of garbage and all this stuff aside, but it did buy him a lot of equity because of the you-know-whats that he showed coming down the stretch. And then he won at Abu Dhabi earlier this year. When, you know, Rex talks about he doesn't win at the clip of those guys. There are only three guys that win at that clip, right, and only one guy that was won at a better clip than those guys over the last 20 years. So, you know, in 10 years from now, is he going to win 10, 12, 15 times? Yeah, that's pretty good. But you know what? Sometimes it just takes... It's hard to win out there.
It is, but every time they talk about the next generation, it's always Jordan and Ricky and Rory. He's always included. Maybe it's our fault.
Probably.
Blame the media when in doubt. But he's always included in that conversation, and that's why I say I don't think he's being treated fairly. Yeah. If somebody offered me that much money to wear a flat brim hat, I would do it too. He's not a victim of marketing. He's a beneficiary of marketing.
I feel like in the last year, he's earned more of that spot, though. Because remember, he won Deutsche Bank. He won the Scottish Open. So that's, I mean, four wins in the last year. Probably should have had five if he didn't let Phoenix slip away.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a short list of guys that have won as much in the last 12 months.
Yeah. Hey, Rex, Jim Furyk playing this week. What do you think his chances are of making a cut, quite frankly?
Well, it's going to be tough on this golf course. It's a long golf course for him to begin with, even if he's 100%, and you don't know if he is. You assume how much golf that he's gotten in up in Jacksonville over the course of this rehab. But it's good that he's healthy. I would put him in that same long conversation that we just had about Tiger. I'm sure at this stage in Jim's career, he's not rushing back. But, yeah, making the cut will be a tough call. I think if he plays 72 holes and doesn't experience any pain, doesn't have any setbacks. I think that could be a huge victory for him, because this would be a hard golf course for him under normal circumstances, and these are not normal circumstances.
All right, Rex, we will let you go. Get on your way to Charlotte, North Carolina. We will talk to you later on.
Thanks, boys. See ya.
All right, see you, Rexy. All right, tweet of the week. Gary Player is actually a really good follow on Twitter. He's actually really, really good, and he's active. Jack Nicklaus and I out on safari in South Africa circa 1965. Mm-hmm. This is a reference to the spring break in the Bahamas that these young guns were talking about had, where they posted all the photos, Fowler and Spieth and those guys. Jack Nicklaus's response, now I have not seen this one yet.
Yeah.
I'm in. Just like 50 years ago at Mala Mala, the one time I left my family for more than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
We need to make this happen. There's got to be someone that can make this happen.
The only problem is that, you know, the media gets blamed. We're now going to ruin it, because this is going to be such a big deal that everybody wants to go cover it, right? You can't have the previous four and then these two go show up. They're going to have to, I mean, it's going to have to be a serious, just top secret for those guys to even get down there and to recreate the 2017 version, right?
I'm just saying, if we could get Gary awesome, Player man. In, jumping awesome. Off the balcony into the water there, Jack Nicklaus running Snapchat, I mean, he could probably still beat those boys at the sit-ups.
He'll be in the
gym. That's what's great about golf. You know, LeBron James isn't doing this with, you know, Dr. J and all. You don't see any sort of Twitter chatter between those guys and other ones. That's what's so great about our sport.
It's cutting edge.
He's a really good follow. He watches everything. He congratulates players when they win. If you tweet at him, he'll often respond to
Absolutely.
You. He's a lot of fun. I am heading to Alabama this week for the LPGA, the Yokohama Tire LPGA Classic. We have a stat, the alarming stat. Only five American women have won on the LPGA Tour since the beginning of 2015. Okay. There's a lot of factors at play here. Number one is that there's a lot of good players in the world, and a lot of them come from South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
The toughest team to make right now is the South Korean women's Olympic team.
Without question.
They're going to leave somebody off that will win more than once this year on the LPGA Tour, and they will not make the Olympics.
Correct.
The competition is daunting, to say the least. But are you bothered, worried by the lack of American winners on the LPGA Tour?
I wouldn't say bothered. I mean, it's a concern, you know. I think probably for the tour in general. Yeah, it still is an American-based tour,
right.
And they really need American women to play well for an American-based tour.
Right.
I know it's a global tour. I get all that. Look, I covered the LPGA for 6 years back in a previous lifetime, so I get it. So a little bit concerned. Because they're just, you know, we're starting to get into the meat of the summer with them, too. You're going to have the International Crown this year, you know, the Olympics. You start adding all that together. I mean, good thing it's not a Solheim Cup year, right? You know, and good thing they did win the previous Solheim Cup. You know, this big ball would be heading downhill with not a whole lot of answers. But a lot of it goes to Stacey Lewis, all of her runner-up finishes. Paula's playing better now, but still not really doing her thing. And just really, it's just hard for, they just haven't been closing out. You know, Jarena Pillar is probably the best American right now over the last month. And I don't even think it's really particularly close. Lexi Thompson, when she gets the putter going. So there are plenty of people who can, which just is not happening. And the longer this goes and the longer we talk about it, the more difficult it becomes.
Yeah, I think it's an issue of the big names not performing and not winning. You mentioned Stacey Lewis is playing well but hasn't gotten a win. Michelle Wee has fallen off the map, had his injury issues right now. Mm-hmm. Lexi got a win earlier but hasn't been contending over the last few weeks. I think it's going to be two key factors. How they play at the International Crown could get a bit of a boost, and they really need to get more than two women to Rio. Right now, only two. You get Christy Kerr at 16, Jarena Pillar at 17. You got to crack the top 15 to get that extra Olympic spot. I think it's going to be big if one of those women can play their way in the top 15.
The solution, as always, play better.
Play better.
Play better. Play better fixes everything.
Yep.
Final thoughts on this Monday?
Now, glad that this Monday is done on the PGA Tour, Robin. Really looking forward to these next 2 weeks with these two really big events. On the PGA Tour. You're going to have all the best play in the next 2 weeks. And that, you know, big summer, but we start to get cranking right about now.
Scheduling in golf is difficult, but I suggest they stop trying to play in New Orleans at the end of April. Just, I don't know what we need to make that work, but it doesn't seem to be a good time.
Never gets going to New Orleans.
Or Evansville, Indiana.
By the way,
the web.com tour.
Yes, poor Cody Gribble, by the way. You talk about final thoughts.
Oh, man.
That boy got robbed on the final shot.
That's hard.
That's right. So how'd I do? We okay? Everybody all right?
I'd put you on a 10-day contract at least.
Would you? thanks for letting me jump in. Thanks for joining us on this Monday Scramble podcast. We'll see you.